Today is the 22nd day of March. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today as we do what we do, gather and take the next step forward together. And that, of course, leads us back to where we left off. And that, of course, right now is in the book of Numbers. Today, chapter 33, verse 40 through 35. Verse 34. The king of Arad, the Canaanite king who lived in the south of the land of Canaan, heard about the approach of the Israelites. They traveled from Mount Hor and camped in Zalmona. They traveled from Zalmona and camped in Punon. They traveled from Punon and camped at Obot. They traveled from Obot and camped at Lai Abarim, on the border of Moab. They traveled from Lim and camped at Dibon Gad. They traveled from Dibon Gad and camped at Almon Dibleathem. They traveled from Almon Dibleathem and camped in the mountains of Abarim before Nebo. They traveled from the mountains of Abarim and camped in the Rift Valley plains by Moab along the Jordan River, across from Jericho. They camped by the Jordan from Bet Jeshimot as far as Abel Shittim in the Rift Valley plains of Moab. The Lord spoke to Moses in the Rift Valley plains of Moab along the Jordan, across from Jericho. He said, "Speak to the Israelites and tell them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, you must drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you. Destroy all their carved images, all their molten images, and demolish their high places. You must dispossess the inhabitants of the land and live in it, for I have given you the land to possess it. You must divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families. To a larger group you must give a larger inheritance, and to a smaller group you must give a smaller inheritance. Everyone's inheritance must be in the place where his lot falls. You must inherit according to your ancestral tribes, but if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, then those whom you allow to remain will be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your side, and will cause you trouble in the land where you will be living. And what I intended to do to them, I will do to you." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Give these instructions to the Israelites and tell them, when you enter Canaan, the land that has been assigned to you as an inheritance, the land of Canaan with its borders, your southern border will extend from the wilderness of Zin along the Edomite border, and your southern border will run eastward to the extremity of the Salt Sea, and then the border will turn from the south to the Scorpion Ascent, continue to Zin, and then its direction will be from the south to Kadesh Barnea. Then it will go to Hazor Adar and pass over Azmon. There the border will turn from Azmon to the stream of Egypt, and then its direction is to the sea. And for a western border you will have the Great Sea. This will be your western border. And this will be your northern border. From the Great Sea you will draw a line to Mount Hor. From Mount Hor you will draw a line to Lebo Hamat. And the direction of the border will be to Zedad. The border will continue to Ziphron, and its direction will be to Hazar Enan. This will be your northern border. For your eastern border, you will draw a line from Hazar Enan to Shepham. The border will run down from Shepham to Riblah, on the east side of Ain, and the border will descend and reach the eastern side of the Sea of Kinneret. Then the border will continue down the Jordan River, and its direction will be to the Salt Sea. This will be your land by its borders that surround it." Then Moses commanded the Israelites, "This is the land that you will inherit by lot, which the Lord has commanded to be given to the 9.5 tribes, because the tribe of the Reubenites by their families, the tribe of the Gadites by their families, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. The 2.5 tribes have received their inheritance on this side of the Jordan, east of Jericho, toward the sunrise." The Lord said to Moses, These are the names of the men who are to allocate the land to you as an inheritance. Eleazar the priest and Joshua son of Nun. You must take one leader from every tribe to assist in allocating the land as an inheritance. These are the names of the men. From the tribe of Judah, Caleb son of Jephunneh. From the tribe of the Simeonites, Shemuel son of Ammihud. From the tribe of Benjamin, Eldad son of Kislon. And from the tribe of the Danites, a leader, Buki son of Jogli. From the Josephites, Haniel son of Ephod, a leader from the tribe of Manasseh. From the tribe of the Ephraimites, a leader, Kemuel son of Shiftan. From the tribe of the Zebulunites, a leader, Elizaphan son of Parnach. From the tribe of the Issacharites, a leader, Paltiel son of Azan. From the tribe of the Asherites, a leader, Ahiud son of Shelomi. And from the tribe of the Naphtalites, a leader, Padahel son of Ammihud. These are the ones whom the Lord commanded to divide up the inheritance among the Israelites in the land of Canaan. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the Rift Valley plains of Moab along the Jordan near Jericho. He said, "Instruct the Israelites to give the Levites towns to live in from the inheritance the Israelites will possess. You must also give the Levites grazing lands around the towns. Thus they will have towns in which to live, and their grazing lands will be for their cattle, for their possessions, and for all their animals. The grazing lands around the towns that you will give to the Levites must extend to a distance of 500 yards from the town wall. You must measure from the outside the wall of the town on the east 1,000 yards, and on the south side 1,000 yards, and on the west side 1,000 yards, and on the north side 1,000 yards, with the town in the middle. This territory must belong to them as grazing land for the towns. Now from these towns that you will give to the Levites, you must select 6 towns of refuge to which a person who has killed someone may flee, and you must give them 42 other towns. So the total of the towns you will give the Levites is 48. You must give these together with their grazing lands. The towns you will give must be from the possession of the Israelites. From the larger tribes you must give more, and from the smaller tribes fewer. Each must contribute some of its own towns to the Levites in proportion to the inheritance allocated to each." And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and tell them, when you cross over the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, you must then designate some towns as towns of refuge for you, to which a person who has killed someone unintentionally may flee, and they must stand as your towns of refuge from the avenger in order that the killer may not die until he has stood trial before the community. These towns that you must give shall be your 6 towns for refuge. You must give 3 towns on this side of the Jordan, and you must give 3 towns in the land of Canaan. They must be towns of refuge. These 6 towns will be places of refuge for the Israelites, and for the resident foreigner, and for the settler among them, so that anyone who kills any person accidentally may flee there. But if he hits someone with an iron tool so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer must surely be put to death. If he strikes him by throwing a stone large enough that he could die, and he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer must surely be put to death. Or if he strikes him with a wooden hand weapon so that he could die, and he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer must surely be put to death. The avenger of blood himself must kill the murderer. When he meets him, he must kill him. But if he strikes him out of hatred or throws something at him intentionally so that he dies, or with enmity he strikes him with his hand and he dies, the one who struck him must surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The avenger of blood must kill the murderer when he meets him. But if he strikes him suddenly without enmity or throws anything at him unintentionally, or with any stone large enough that a man could die without seeing him and throws it at him and he dies, even though he was not his enemy nor sought his harm, then the community must judge between the slayer and the avenger of blood according to these decisions. The community must deliver the slayer out of the hand of the avenger of blood, and the community must restore him to the town of refuge to which he fled, and he must live there until the death of the high priest, who was anointed with the consecrated oil. But if the slayer at any time goes outside the boundary of the town to which he had fled, and the avenger of blood finds him outside the borders of the town of refuge, and the avenger of blood kills the slayer, he will not be guilty of blood, because the slayer should have stayed in his town of refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer may return to the land of his possessions. So these things must be a statutory ordinance for you throughout your generations, in all the places where you live. Whoever kills any person, the murderer must be put to death by the testimony of witnesses. But one witness cannot testify against any person to cause him to be put to death. Moreover, you must not accept a ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death. He must surely be put to death. And you must not accept a ransom for anyone who has fled to a town of refuge, to allow him to return home and live on his own land before the death of the high priest. You must not pollute the land where you live, for blood defiles the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed there, except by the blood of the person who shed it. Therefore, do not defile the land that you will inhabit, in which I live, for I, the Lord, live among the Israelites. Luke 5:12 through 28. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came to him who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed down with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." So he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing. Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then he ordered the man to tell no one, but commanded him, "Go and show yourself to a priest and bring the offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." But the news about him spread even more, and large crowds were gathering together to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. Yet Jesus himself frequently withdrew to the wilderness and prayed. Now on one of those days, while he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting nearby, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was on him to heal. Just then some men showed up, carrying a paralyzed man on a stretcher. They were trying to bring him in and place him before Jesus, but since they found no way to carry him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down on a stretcher through the roof tiles right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Then the experts in the law and the Pharisees began to think to themselves, "Who is this man who is uttering blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" When Jesus perceived their hostile thoughts, he said to them, "Why are you raising objections within yourselves? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, stand up, take your stretcher, and go home." Immediately he stood up before them, picked up the stretcher he had been lying on, and went home, glorifying God. Then astonishment seized them all, and they glorified God. They were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen incredible things today." After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. "Follow me," he said to him. And he got up and followed him, leaving everything behind. Psalm 65, for the music director, a psalm of David, a song. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. Vows made to you are fulfilled. You hear prayers. All people approach you. Our record of sins overwhelms me, but you forgive our acts of rebellion. How blessed is the one whom you choose and allow to live in your palace courts. May we be satisfied with the good things of your house, your holy palace. You answer our prayers by performing awesome acts of deliverance, O God, our Savior. All the ends of the earth trust in you, as well as those living across the wide seas. You created the mountains by your power and demonstrated your strength. You calmed the raging seas and their roaring waves, as well as the commotion made by the nations. Even those living in the remotest areas are awestruck by your acts. You cause those living in the east and west to praise you. You visit the earth and give it rain. You make it rich and fertile. God's streams are full of water. You provide grain for the people of the earth, for you have prepared the earth in this way. You saturate its furrows and soak its plowed ground. With rain showers, you soften its soil and make its crops grow. You crown the year with your good blessings, and you leave abundance in your wake. The pastures in the wilderness glisten with moisture, and the hills are clothed with joy. The meadows are clothed with sheep, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout joyfully. Yes, they sing. Proverbs 11:23. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Okay, so let's just kind of summarize where we are right now. In the book of Numbers, we've completed a recap that we began a bit ago of the different places that the Israelites camped throughout the time that they spent in the wilderness. And then we kind of turned to the future preparations as they had some land and they were settling and waiting to move into the promised land. So there's tribal leaders that are appointed and they're planning how they will distribute the land grants that they will inherit as the tribes. And the priestly class of the Levites are again instructed that they will not inherit land. They'll be within the communities caring for the spiritual health of the people, but they'll have their own towns. And so these Levitical towns will be established. And then we learned about cities of refuge that are also supposed to be established. And this is kind of a new thing in the world at this time. This is, I guess, what we would call today manslaughter. So somebody who accidentally causes the death of somebody else without like planning it, without meaning to, they have a place to flee to so that this can be sorted out. So that's what's going on in Numbers. Then in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is doing what he said he came to do. And it's weird because in the process, he's kind of getting the attention of the religious leaders in a bad way. He's getting on their nerves. And today in particular, he claimed to forgive sins. And that's blasphemy because that's associating somebody with God. And so they're watching Jesus pretty close. He's also associating with sinners. That's not a common accepted thing. And then he also didn't force his disciples to fast. So they're questioning that. We've gotten far enough into the Gospels to know that Jesus had not so much interest in like the acceptance of the religious leaders. He was seemingly interested in doing what he said he came to do. So when we watch Jesus moving around, we see the brokenhearted finding healing and captives being set free. And it was becoming clear that Jesus had momentum and he was gaining the hearts of the people and those that were not for him, those religious leaders that were against him, were not going to be able to like co-opt him or control or manage him. And so we're kind of at this point where Jesus is starting to become a problem. And then in Psalms, we encounter a beautiful, maybe one of the most beautiful of David's Psalms. And it's a beautiful illustration of how God cares for all of the earth. David says, "You visit the earth and give it rain. You make it rich and fertile. God's streams are full of water. You provide grain for the people of the earth, for you have prepared the earth in this way." That's from the 65th Psalm, and it's beautiful. It's worth slowly chewing on, kind of reading stanza by stanza and just meditate on it today. And this is a place to remember. We can come back here when the world's out of control. And that's like more often than we realize. And so let's remember this place and find our grounding here. And so, Father, we invite you into all that we have read today, all that we have read up to this point, this journey that we are on. We invite your Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into what we need to hear, what we need to understand, what needs to open up for us as it applies to our lives and each of our stories. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. That's the website. That's where you find out what's going on around here. So certainly be familiar. Check it out. Check out the community section. It's where links to get connected on social media are. That is where the prayer wall lives. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are a number of resources in the shop in a number of categories for the journey that we are on. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, humble, deep gratitude. Thank you. We can't do this if we don't do this together. So thank you deeply. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee. 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this message is for Lori. You are so loved and so valued just for being you. Please do not feel guilty or ashamed or selfish. I am so proud of you for being you. And this is not attached to how, quote unquote, how well you are doing. Please do not feel like you are failing, ever. Frankly, we could all rip the words failing and backsliding from our vocabularies. You are so loved and so valued, and I'm so proud of you. I will pray for you each day, all day, and please call in and connect. I'm a mom from Arizona praying and thinking about you.
Good morning, DAB family. Then me. My name is Jane, and I'm calling from England. I just want to pray for the lady called Lori, who called on March the 19th asking for prayer because she's stuck in the cycle of wanting to die. Lori, I just want you to know that the fact that you've come up to this, to us to say one prayer, that means you want to live, my love. I just want to encourage you that the devil is after you, and I want you to switch that switch in your mind. Every time that thought of trying to kill yourself comes up, have an awareness of it. You know that the thought has come. I pray that you will switch it around and tell the devil that you have every reason to live, because you've listed all of them to us. You've got a good job, you've got a family around you, you've got a good network around you. Tell the devil that, no, I have every reason to live, and I will live. Keep repeating this to yourself all the time. Every time that thought comes to you to kill yourself, tell the devil, devil, you're a liar. I am not going to kill myself. I will live. And keep repeating this to yourself all the time. Every time the thought comes, keep repeating it that you will live. And that eventually is going to become your reality. And the devil will back off from you. I pray that God will lead you through this process as you're trying to get...
Hello, DAB. This is Jennifer. My Abba thinks I'm beautiful. And this is my second time calling. I want to lift up to God the young adult kids that seem to be stuck. I've heard a few callers call for prayers for their kids, and I have one too. His name is Alex. He's 23. I want to seek God's will, His mercy, His grace, His favor on behalf of my son and on behalf of these other young adult children. I want to release to God my own expectations, my own fears for the future, my own feelings about how this makes me feel, about how this makes me look. I want to give all of that over to God. I truly want to seek God's will for my child, not mine. I truly want to not live in fear for what the future holds, because God is good and He's trustworthy, and He knows. He knows. He knows what our kids need. He knows what my son needs. He's able to pursue. He loves them. So, Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. You're good. You're kind. And I know that it's all in your hands, and you are trustworthy. Thank you for inviting us to pray and for hearing us.
Greetings, our DAB family. This is Julie from San Diego. I'm calling to request a prayer for a friend of ours. Their son, named Daniel, needs desperate prayers. He has been battling voices, demonic forces. So next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we are going to fast and pray. Our pastor recommended this, and God's word recommends that as well. So if you could join me in praying for Daniel, that all of these evil spirits and the oppression of the enemy would be removed from his life, and that he would be set free to be able to live a free life. He loves God, but he says this, the voices are tormenting him and he has no control over them. So we're praying that God would deliver him completely and wholly. So thank you, DAB family. Prayers to everyone else. God bless you. And if you have a child, grandchild, friend that is going through something similar, I also pray in the name of Jesus that He gives us the power to be able to pray these demonic forces away. So in Jesus' name we pray that. Amen.